Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
Luke chapter 17 is where we are this morning. As we continue to walk our way through Luke's gospel, we're now in Luke chapter 17, and we're going to do our best to look at the whole chapter this morning. You may have noticed along the way, at least I'm noticing this a little bit as I'm going through Luke, that the tenor seems to be shifting a little bit as the cross gets closer. I find that there's more of a solemnity and a seriousness as Jesus heads to Jerusalem. Remember way back in chapter 9, we kind of see this shift begin to happen in Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 9, Luke notes that at this time, Jesus is beginning to head towards Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross. He's headed to the place where he will offer his life as a ransom for many. And here again in Luke chapter 17, you see it in verse 11, Luke reminds us again that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. In Luke chapter 17, verse 25, you want to notice this, that Jesus says here, yes, the kingdom is coming, but first, he says in verse 25 of chapter 17, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And so that's where he's heading, that's where he's going, and he knows it. And so as we walk through this, I think I start to see a seriousness, a solemnity that we need to understand the weight of the kingdom of God that is coming. And something else that I notice, maybe you notice this as well, that this can often leave us a little discombobulated as it might leave that for the disciples of his day. It even does it here and now. We've been following Jesus and we see his power, we see his grace, but now we're having trouble seeing the kingdom. Like, what does this mean? What does this look like, that the kingdom of God, and how, why is the king going to go to the cross and suffer and die? Like, this doesn't quite make sense. And even for the Pharisees, I read it a second ago, you see that question, don't you? In chapter 17, verse 20, the Pharisees are asking when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that you might expect. It's not coming in a political way or things like that. That's not what you're looking for. In fact, Jesus says, don't question this. The kingdom of God is, even now, in your midst. It's among you. And notice this. This is the Pharisees' question, but I want you to notice this as well, that even disciples have a hard time with this. After Jesus would die and rise again, this is a question the disciples even struggle with in Acts chapter 1. Do you remember the question before Jesus reminds them of the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1? The disciples asked Jesus, the resurrected Christ even. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Like, what is the kingdom? Where is it coming? Like, what are we looking for? And it's not what we expected. And God, what does this look like? And I would suspect you might even deal with that sometimes. And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Yes, the kingdom is coming. But now you receive power to make the gospel known to the nations, is what he is saying. And so here's what I want you to start to see. Yes, the kingdom is coming. There's a future to the kingdom. But the kingdom is now. It's in the midst of you even now. The coming day of the Lord is coming. That bright, glorious day, overwhelming day of the Lord, that is coming. But now, even now, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is in your midst and on the move even now. And I want us to see that this morning. The good news, the kingdom of God is among us. Even now. And what does that look like? Let me first make a few remarks about the kingdom. The kingdom of God today operates among earthly kingdoms. So we know that. Jesus, yeah, I'm going to restore the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. But now you go make disciples of all nations. You spread the good news of the kingdom among the nations. The kingdom of God operates among earthly kingdoms now. But one day God's kingdom will swallow up all earthly kingdoms and will alone stand. That's what we're waiting for. But even now, the kingdom is on the move. Even now, the kingdom is on earth and the kingdom is moving. The kingdom of God is the place of the rule and reign of God. So just a few things to start off here. The kingdom of God is here and now. One day will be the only kingdom standing, but for now it operates among earthly kingdoms. The kingdom of God is the place of the rule and reign of God. It's a life where Jesus is king and where Jesus reigns over you. That's kingdom life. That's what we long for as believers. We're part of the kingdom of God where Jesus rules and reigns over our life. It's the lordship of Jesus in our life. And it's not simply a hope of Christians that someday might be realized, but it's a truth that already has taken place, that the kingdom is now. And so, as one old dead theologian once wisely said, it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom of Christ visible. It's a future kingdom that will one day be clearly visible, but now it kind of seems small and insignificant, but it is the call of the church to make the invisible kingdom of Christ visible here and now. And so that's what I want to start pressing into a little bit, because that was the question of the Pharisees. What are we looking for? Like, what will we see? And Jesus does say, yes, like in that day, the days are coming when you will desire to see the sons of man and you will not see it. They will say, look here or there. You're going to go through all of these things. But as lightning flashes and lights up the sky, like there's going to be that glorious day. But what are we looking for now? How do we see the kingdom, the invisible kingdom here now? What does it look like when the Lord rules and reigns among his people? When Jesus has lordship over our lives, what do we see? What are we looking for? What are signs of the kingdom of God among us even now? I think throughout Luke chapter 17, there's other things we could say, but I think there's at least five things that we could see the kingdom of God among us now, that we make the invisible kingdom visible in the church as people whom the Lord has lordship over, who rules and reigns our life as he causes us to move and spread the gospel to the nations as we operate under earthly kingdoms. What does this look like? What are signs of the kingdom among us? Here's the first thing I want to point out to you in chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. A sign of the kingdom among us is radical forgiveness. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive. I want you to notice a few things about these verses that Jesus says about the signs of the kingdom among us. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, there will be temptations. How many of you can testify that as living under the lordship of Christ in this world here and now, as we wait the coming of the Lord, where all sin is done with once and for all forever, how many of you can say that you struggle with temptation? You've been tempted before. I hope all of you would recognize that. And Jesus is saying, recognize that. Temptations will come. Temptations will come. But what does he say? Pay attention to yourselves and don't cause other people to sin. So let's go ahead and say this. A sign of the kingdom among you is that there is a seriousness towards sin, that you're waging war against sin, that there's a seriousness concerning sin, that we understand that sin robs us of life. And so Jesus says, if Jesus is Lord over your life and the kingdom of God is among you, the way that you'll see that and recognize it and know that is not necessarily an outright visible way of lightning flashes and all of these things, but you will see a certain attention towards sin. You'll guard yourself against sin. Pay attention. And notice what he says as well is, you will help guard others against sin. Pay attention that temptations will come your way, and don't be the one through whom they come. And so Jesus says, pay attention, guard yourselves and help guard others against sin. Be ready to help your brothers and sisters. And then if you see someone in sin, help them out of sin. Yes, rebuke them, call them out, but if they repent, forgive them. There's this radical forgiveness, and he says as many times as they repent, forgive them. That's a sign of the kingdom of God among you. To forgive someone is to remove the guilt as a result of wrongdoing, not out of a fear of confrontation or a willingness to sweep the infraction under the rug, but out of a compassion and a desire of a restored relationship to say, hey, I love my brother and sister so much, and I want that relationship restored, and so I will help guard them against sin. What is often your first reaction when someone harms you or sins against you? Often it's retaliation, a demand for justice, not to pursue the hard work of forgiveness. The sign of the kingdom among you is you're pursuing this radical forgiveness towards people in your life. And why is this? We know that God is just and loves justice, and so we long for justice. Remember that God's justice is most fully displayed on the cross. When Jesus forgives, he is not doing something unjust. Forgiveness and justice never oppose one another when we are compelled by love. One Christian theologian said it like this, philosopher said, consistent enforcement of justice would wreak havoc in a world shot through with transgression. It may rid the world of all evil, but at the cost of the world's destruction. And God's work is to renew the world, not destroy it. The work of God's kingdom is to go with the gospel to the nations, not to destroy the nations, but so that the nations might be destroyed, restored, not destroyed, that people might be restored and not destroyed. And so the sign of the kingdom among you is you're seeking that very thing. The restoration of people. And forgiveness doesn't mean condoning what has been done. You take it seriously. And you know God has taken your sin seriously because he heads to Jerusalem. He will suffer and die, he says. And he will be rejected for our sin. But the kingdom of God produces a community of people who repent and forgive. The church is meant to practice this constantly until Christ comes to perfect his bride. The kingdom breaks into the world with healing and restoration, which points to the ultimate healing and restoration with all perfections and distortions of beauty that will one day be restored. And so we look to the not yet of the kingdom. It's coming. He's going to restore all things. And a sign of the kingdom among us is that we see renewed relationships and people and forgiveness as many times as they repent over and over. We forgive because we want to see people restored because that's a sign of the kingdom. Because that's what Christ is doing. And so we are to be a humble people who know a thing or two about grace because we have been forgiven in Christ. And so we show forgiveness and grace. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for some kind of political kingdom? No, you're looking for a people who are of radical forgiveness. Another sign that I think we see of the kingdom of people who are living under the rule and reign and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only are they a forgiving people, we see that they are a people who are walking by faith. Listen to what it says in verse 5. So another sign of the kingdom that is we're walking by faith. The apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our trust in you. How many of you know that if you are to forgive in this way, to live this way, to love people in this way, in a costly way, people who even sin against you, how many of you know to walk this way, you are going to need to trust the grace and the power of the Lord more and more? That you don't have this in your own strength. You don't have this in your own power. Like you need a greater power at work in you if you are to see the kingdom move among you. A sign of the kingdom is that we're walking by faith. And they know this. Lord, increase our faith. We need more faith. We need more trust in you. And the Lord kind of deflects that question back. Yes, increase your faith. And here's what he says. He says, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, even a small, tiny faith. So what is he doing? You say, hey, yes, Lord, increase our faith, but where the power comes is not in the amount of your faith, but the object of your faith. So even if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed in the Almighty God who moves the heavens and earth, You could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Lord, increase our faith. A sign of the kingdom among us is that we desire to trust the Lord more and more. And here we see in Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, that he strengthens our faith by telling us that the crucial issue in accomplishing great things to advance the kingdom of God is not the quantity of our faith, but the power of God in whom we trust. There will be signs that those are a people, a tiny people. They seem weak, but they trust the Almighty God like no other. And the kingdom of God is moving among them. They forgive each other. They love each other. And they're attempting great things for God because they're trusting in Almighty God. So a sign of a kingdom among us, it might not look like flashes of lightning, but a sign will be that you are radically forgiving of those who are living under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a sign of the kingdom among us is that you are increasing your trust more and more in Almighty God and walking by faith. A third thing that I think we see as Jesus continues this a section of teaching is that a sign of the kingdom among us is humble service, is that we remain humble. That yes, we watch ourselves to avoid sin. We rebuke one another. We forgive one another. We live lives of faith. But don't start thinking that somehow that you will graduate away from needing to be humble. Here's what Jesus explains it like. He said, will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep, say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Jesus is establishing here the master-servant relationship, that he is the master. Does he thank the servant because he did what he commanded? So also, when you have done all that you were commanded to do, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. And so sometimes we can feel like if we're living in this way, if we're living for the sake of the kingdom, that somehow that we can graduate beyond humility, that somehow we need a medal, we need a parade, we need the Lord to say thank you because, you know, I could not have done that without you. That somehow the Lord is going to say, praise God for you. Couldn't have done it without you. Now, the Lord does love us. He does care for us. The Bible describes us, we're the apple of his eye. He loves us in a very particular way. But after all of these things, don't forget that we are still unworthy servants, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant does not take a seat beside his master and eat with him right out of the field. The master does not thank the servant for doing what he was told to do. The same is true when Jesus commands us to forgive. Forgiveness is what we ought to be doing, what we're called to be doing by the power of Christ in us. And this is what Jesus is after. That never forget, humble servants, unworthy servants, that we are still radically dependent upon grace. We never move beyond grace. We will always be dependent on grace. We will never work our way to such a place that somehow God is our debtor, that he owes us something. All we have, we owe to him. Everything we have, we owe to him. Who has given a gift to the Lord that he might be repaid? Romans 11:35. God never looks at us and says, we couldn't have done it without you. We look to the Lord and say, Lord, I could not do this without you. Thank you for saving me, healing me, forgiving me, increasing my faith and loving me. I don't deserve it. I couldn't do it without you. Lord, I love you and I'm dependent upon your grace. That's a sign of the kingdom among us, is we're living our lives as humble servants. And this is a great encouragement to our faith. Why? Because it means that God is just as free to bless us before we get our act together than he is after. Here's what I mean, is that do you remember the power of grace that saved you? When you're overwhelmed with the grace of God, that God saves a sinner like me, and the power that raised Christ from the dead raised you to life, that's still the power at work within you. that if God does something in and through you, it is grace, grace, grace. And it's good to live in the place of grace. It's a powerful place to live in the place of grace in humble servants. So a sign of a kingdom among us is that we are radically forgiving people because we have been radically forgiven. We are people who walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in God. We are people who are always dependent upon grace, walking as humble servants. That's a sign among us. I think another sign is that we live with thankful hearts. How could we not? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem in verse 11. Do you see it there? And he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And he lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, just one of them of the 10 turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. He was an outsider. He was a one that if anyone deserved grace, it wasn't him. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner?" And he said to him, "Go and rise. Your faith has made you well." A sign of the kingdom among us is that we have thankful hearts. And we see that displayed by the Samaritan. That yes, Jesus healed 10, but only one returned in thanksgiving. This thankful outsider. He is thankful, which is a certain sign that he knows and he's experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't after Jesus just because Jesus could heal him. He was after Jesus because Jesus was Lord, and he recognized that and fell down and worshiped him for who he was. And so we see in Luke chapter 17 that this Samaritan who returns, this isn't just a matter of manners, of having a thankful heart because we're well-mannered people, right? This is a matter of true faith. He says in 17 verse 19 that your faith has made you well. And so we need to understand that thankful hearts, we can be thankful because we are well-mannered people, or we can be truly thankful because we are people who have been changed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are people of faith. And so Jesus is showing us that what can be pervasive in this world and even be pervasive among God's people is ingratitude. And that we forget of all that the Lord has done, and we forget to be thankful. A blindness to God's grace and a failure to honor him with our thanks is a sign that we aren't seeing the kingdom. We're not seeing Christ for who he is as the King and Lord of our lives. Thankfulness and gratitude is a very telling sign in our hearts of whether or not we know what the kingdom of God is. And so, do you love God for his gifts or for who he is? A sign of the kingdom among us is that we will be thankful people. The last thing that I want you to see this morning is in the longer part of the text, and so we won't read it all, but a sign of the kingdom among us is that we live in tension. We live as we forgive, as we pray to the Lord to increase our faith, as we live as humble servants, as we live as thankful with thankful hearts. We understand that we live in between the not yet, the already and the not yet, as some theologians say it. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here in the rest of chapter 17, is yet, yes, the kingdom has already come, but not yet been consummated. It's not yet final. Yes, Christ is coming again. And he says, when that day is coming, it is coming. That day is coming, and you will know it when it has come. That will be plain to you. It'll be like lighting up the sky, he says, on the day of the Son of Man. But first, he must suffer many things. And when he does come, it'll be like the days of Noah. Do you see it there? When Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, it's going to be like in the days of Lot. They were eating and drinking and buying and selling. They were going about their normal life, is what he's saying. And the Son of Man will be revealed. And on that day, let the one who is on the housetop with the goods in his house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. He's saying this, like, don't be so in this tension as we wait for the coming of the Lord where everything's going to be made right. And don't be living in such a way that you're just living for the world and that you miss it like the Pharisees. And that you're not forgiving, that you're not walking by faith, that you're not humbly serving, and that you don't have a thankful heart, that somehow as you live between the kingdom has already come and not yet in full, as you live in that space, don't forget that the kingdom is coming and don't go about your daily lives not living under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Lot's wife who turned back. Here's what he says. How do we live in that tension? Verse 33, I think that's key. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it. For I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed, one taken, the other left. There will be two women working together, one taken, one left. So it's going to be this unexpected thing. They will say, where, Lord? He said, where the corpse is, there the vulture will gather. That's an odd statement. But what Jesus is saying is that judgment will be final. And then it will be too late. What he's saying is don't wait till it's too late. Live for the kingdom now. Have the Lord open your eyes for the kingdom of now, because only the self-denying will find it. Pharisees can't see it because they won't deny themselves. They won't humble themselves. They can't see it because they're so full of themselves. The people in Noah's day couldn't see it because they were so full with their eyes of the things of the world. Lot's wife couldn't see it because her eyes were turned back to the things of this world. Here's what he's saying. As we live in this tension, don't look back in such a way that you don't deny yourself. Because until you deny yourself and trust in Christ, you will not see the kingdom. But if you deny yourself and come after him, you will gain life. And what will it look like? You'll be a forgiving people, a faithful people, a humbly serving people, a thankful people. So behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Jesus has come. He begins his work in the hearts of his people here and now, restoring people here and now. And Christ is coming again, and he will establish the new heavens and the earth. But now the kingdom of God is among us. God's rule and reign is among us. The kingdom is in our midst. And the way that we see that is the way that we forgive, the way that we trust, the way that we serve, the way that we give thanks, and the way that we stay ready for that day. So brothers and sisters, let's not miss it. The kingdom of God is among us. Let's make the invisible kingdom visible as we forgive others freely, that we trust Christ deeply, that we serve him humbly, that we give thanks continually, and that we stay ready. Let's pray.